This is DW News, live from Berlin. Olaf Scholz's Social Democrats hang on to their lead in the opinion polls over Armin Laschet's Conservatives ahead of German elections on Sunday. All three main parties held rallies as campaigning entered its final stretch. Also on the programme, fresh eruptions from the La Palma volcano in the Canary Islands lead to more evacuations as a new vent opens in the mountainside. Airlines cancel flights as the volcano throws thick black ash into the air. I'm Phil Gale. Welcome to the programme. Germans elect a new parliament on Sunday, and with less than 2 days to go, opinion polls show the Social Democrats hanging on to a narrow lead over the conservative CDU-CSU bloc. Both are still comfortably ahead of the Greens. All three parties, with hopes of getting into government, held large-scale rallies on Friday in Cologne, Munich and Dusseldorf.
It's the final sprint for the finish line as Germany's political parties try to scoop up the support of any remaining undecided voters. Social Democrat candidate and leader in the polls, Olaf Scholz, told a crowd in Cologne he senses a mood for change across Germany.
What people are saying is we need a new departure for Germany, we need a change of government and we want a government led by the SPD.
In Munich, Chancellor Merkel turned out to lend her support for Christian Democrat leader Armin Laschet. His flagging poll numbers have seen a late resurgence, and as he addressed supporters from both parts of the Conservative bloc, he sounded confident of victory. Markus Söder and I, CDU and CSU, want to do everything in our power in the next few years to create a good Germany, a good Europe and a better world. And that's why we ask for your trust. And I ask for your confidence in being able to become the next federal chancellor of Germany. The Green Party's Annalena Baerbock has dropped back in the polls and now looks unlikely to become chancellor. At her final campaign event in Dusseldorf, she stressed her party's environmental focus, which could set the tone of any coalition government of which the Greens are a part. To the SPD and the Conservatives, we say the people are not stupid. Claiming to be a chancellor for the climate on election posters is not enough. We can no longer afford to do things by halves. We need a federal government working for the climate with all its might, all its heart and all its passion. The SPD continues its lead in the polls, followed by the CDU-CSU and then the Greens and the other parties. A good third of those surveyed are still not sure whether they want to vote at all, and if so, who for. That all means the shape of the coming government is anyone's guess. SPD and Conservatives might be able to form a two-party alliance, but a three-way coalition could be needed instead, if so, including the Greens.
Well, DW political correspondent Nina Haase was at the SPD's final campaign event in Cologne, and then sent us her assessment of how Germany's three biggest parties are trying to convince undecided voters.
I'm in Cologne, where Olaf Scholz from the Social Democrats held his final campaign event. Now, Olaf Scholz is still leading in the polls, but lately the Conservatives have managed to narrow that gap slightly. And so Olaf Scholz's message on the stage today in Cologne was every hour counts, every vote counts. He tried to mobilize SPD voters because, of course, he's also aware that many Germans are still undecided, about one in three. And that is, of course, a particularly big blow for the Conservatives, for Angela Merkel's party. Under their chancellor candidate Armin Laschet, the party has seen a lot of infighting, and that is not something that German voters tend to appreciate. So he is behind the SPD in the polls at this point in time. And as for the third candidate, Annalena Baerbock from the Greens, who started off in this election race as a superstar, has since slumped, and it does seem quite clear that she's out of the race for the chancellery itself. But under her leadership, she could still win the Greens the biggest historic result in their history, in the party's history. The party has become a lot more mature, a lot less ideology-driven. And so out of all the parties that are in the race, it does look as though it's the Greens that have the highest possibility of actually forming part of the next government.
Away from the election, sort of, young climate activists around the world have been rallying as part of the Fridays for Future movement, demanding immediate change in environmental policies.
Climate justice! Climate justice! Hoo-ha,
hoo-ha. Students in India complain that individual action isn't enough and never has been. There were similar scenes in Europe with protests in the UK and the Czech Republic. In Nairobi, COVID-19 restrictions meant that street protests had been banned, so this group took to the park. And here in Berlin, protesters had a message for the parties fighting to form Germany's new government. No more excuses.
Wake up and do something. That's the main message these protesters want to send as the country heads to the polls on Sunday. Tens of thousands took to the streets, and not all of them young people. The Fridays for Future demonstrations had been put on hold due to the pandemic, so many relished the opportunity to finally renew pressure on politicians and make sure climate issues are foremost in voters' minds. The election on Sunday will set the course for the future. And that course must be towards climate-friendly policies. We want to be heard, and we want to change the system. We need to get serious about protecting the climate, and we need to stop subsidizing coal and take climate goals seriously. The marchers took their vocal protests to Berlin's government quarter and finally gathered at the Bundestag. Guest of honor was the young Swedish activist who started the Fridays for Future movement, Greta Thunberg. Greta Thunberg encouraged people to get out and vote in Germany's election, but she warned that that would not be enough.
Germany is the fourth biggest emitter of CO2 in history. For a nation of about 80 million people, that's quite an achievement. Germany is objectively one of the biggest climate villains.
She also pointed out that the world's handling of the COVID-19 crisis proved the world isn't treating climate change with the same urgency. Berlin's own local co-organizer of the movement echoed Greta Thunberg's voice of frustration.
Throughout the election campaign, we've seen that we have a lot of empty promises, that the politicians talk a lot about climate politics, but there's no of the Democratic parties whose program is consistent with limiting the climate crisis to 1.5 degrees. This is a scandal.
For people, that's reason enough to keep pushing for change, to demand real climate protection, whatever the shape of the country's next government.
Well, let's take a look at some of the other stories making news at this hour. US President Joe Biden has welcomed the leaders of India, Japan and Australia to the White House for a summit intended to boost cooperation in the Indo-Pacific region and push back against China's growing influence. The first in-person meeting of the Quad, as the group is called, will be watched closely in Beijing. Former Catalan separatist leader Carles Puigdemont has been freed a day after his arrest on the Italian island of Sardinia. He'll have to attend a hearing about his possible extradition to Spain on the 4th of October. Hundreds of supporters in the Spanish city of Barcelona welcomed the news of his release. Now, an ongoing volcanic eruption on the Spanish island of La Palma has intensified. Firefighters were ordered to retreat as a new vent opened up in the side of the volcano, throwing more lava and ash into the air. Residents of three more towns have been evacuated. The lava's already swallowed up hundreds of homes, and there are fears it might claim many more. DW correspondent Nicole Rees in Madrid is following this story for us. Welcome, Nicole. What's the latest?
Well, the latest, as we just heard, there is a new eruptive mass that has opened on this volcano, and there were very strong explosions throughout the day that could be felt through shockwaves. in a far further distance as well, so quite scary even for the scientists. And there is a lot of ashes coming down right now, and also rocks. So this is why firefighters and also other security workers needed to retreat from certain areas where they were doing cleanup works, and also needed to make sure that people in this area were being safely evacuated. And these people didn't have much time to pack up their stuff because it was relative calm days before, so they didn't really expect it. Some of them are even going to other islands because they have nowhere else to go. And to just give you an idea how dense the ashes are, for example, experts say that the clouds that are being produced, the ashes clouds, are as high as 4 kilometers. And also the lava that is currently running through the landscape, covering everything under it, is said to be 190 hectares large. This means this is around 266 football fields, more or less. So for people who are on the island right now, locals, this is very traumatizing. They see how their houses are being destroyed, their livelihoods are kind of ripped away. And there's just another thing going on right now. They're getting very angry at tourists and other people who have traveled to the island just to see this spectacle, while their livelihoods are basically ripped apart in front of their eyes.
Right. And one of the worries is that the tip of the volcano might explode and crumble. What are the fears there? What implications would that have?
Well, this is one of the scenarios that could happen if a lot of gases and pressure really build up. This is not, it's not sure if it's very likely, but it would mean that it also affects the top of the volcano, and the speed of the lava with this massive explosion that it would cause would be really, as some authorities put it, unbearable. A police officer who was trying to evacuate people today actually put it like this. He says, if you don't have a safe distance when this thing comes down, it will sweep away everything and everyone. So this is one worry, but at the moment the worry is really on the amounts of ashes and rocks coming down and further explosions, because scientists in an interview just now on TV said that they are still studying why these explosions have happened. They have a few theories, but they didn't want to come forward with them as of yet.
So as the situation gets worse, how are authorities responding?
They're responding fairly well right from the beginning. They were always on top of the game. I mean, they have been able to evacuate everybody in time. Nobody has been hurt. It's this material damage that we see. There's also a lot of solidarity among islanders, but also coming from the outside. If it's donations of food or clothes or people trying to help others to relocate. So this is something that is going on the ground, obviously. And in a recent development, actually, the local TV station has now said that they're not going to show pictures of evacuees anymore at this time, and also not of the destruction of homes, because they know how dramatic this is for the affected, and they just want to do this out of respect for the moment.
OK, thank you for that. DW correspondent Nicole Rees. German President Frank-Walter Steinmeier has been addressing the UN General Assembly in New York. Recalling the recent fall of Kabul to the Taliban, he described it as a watershed moment and made the case for human rights, freedom, democracy, and the use of diplomacy over military force.
In Afghanistan,
a long and costly mission in Afghanistan has failed, but not an idea. My country feels deeply committed to the ideals of freedom and democracy, perhaps precisely because our German journey there was a long one. Of course, we know in reality political systems are never perfect, not in Europe, not in America, nowhere. As a result, they cannot be exported, let alone imposed.
I asked DW Washington correspondent Oliver Sallet what lessons the German president had drawn from the 20-year NATO mission in Afghanistan.
As he just pointed out, the mission failed, but not the idea, and is essentially talking about freedom and democracy, and that the lesson learned is that those values cannot be exported as a political system. This is probably the major lesson that the Western allies have learned in 20 years in Afghanistan, and that it now needs a different approach, according to Frank-Walter Steinmeier, and that's more multilateralism, more international cooperation, and especially looking at the United States, that you can't rely on old partnerships. Only Germany and Europe, therefore, would have to act with more responsibility and accept more responsibility when it comes to defense and military spending, of course, always in cooperation with the international partners.
Oliver Sallet. That's it. You're up to date. More world news at the top of the hour. In just a moment, Stephen Beardsley has your business update. Have a good day.